Heavenly Father, by the clearness and the brightness of your holy word, may all the world come within your saving embrace, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. Two particular people have been on my mind quite a lot this past week. A young woman whom I'll call Marissa, and my great aunt, Rosie Johnson, who died just a few weeks shy of her 98th birthday, and whose memorial service we celebrated here just yesterday morning. Now, on the face of things, Marissa and Rosie have very little in common. But I've been thinking a lot about both of them in light of today's scriptures and in light of the invitation to discipleship in this world in which we are seemingly we're living and we are dead to sin and we are looking ahead to immortal death. What does this all mean? And so both of them have been on my mind for different reasons. To both of them, to all of us, God declares liberty to captives. He erases the debt of sin and death through the holy offering of Jesus, even unto death on the cross. And we have access to this salvation and this abundant, amazing grace through Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit comes upon us, and Christ is present to and through us. And he has made us, those who have received him, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, and his treasured possession. The amazing thing that we reflected on last Sunday is that God doesn't just settle the debt, sort of balance the scales or the scores of the wages of sin, that the free gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ is much more than just balancing the books. It's much more than balancing cosmic scales as though, now get saved and just make good decisions for the future. Salvation is new life in Jesus, his life in us, and we abiding in him. It is justification and the love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we are led and filled by that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and who bears fruit of righteousness in us and the lives of those who are united in Christ. It is good news of salvation. And it's good news that inspires not just sort of diagrams of salvation, but art and music and good works and sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. And I pointed out how our stained glass sort of tells the story of redemption. And what I love, it's kind of crowned with fruitfulness of wheat and grapes and flowers as an image for us of we have a fruitful life in the present as we look ahead to the age to come. Because we are individual lives transformed and renovated as holy vessels and sanctuaries of the Holy Spirit. And we can be congregations that bear witness to Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit in us today by our love. God's grace is sufficient, and the grace of God in Jesus Christ is much more than the power of death, much more than the heaviness of death's shadows even today. Because to both death and its shadow, Jesus says to things past, things present, things to come, it is finished. It is such a great salvation. Future reality was something that Marissa hoped of things to come. A present and a future reality was something that Marissa had on her mind and was struggling with this week as I met her for the first time. She wanted, on one hand, to stay in that confidence of salvation that she'd received, while at the same time wrestling with old habits, even relationships that dragged her down into those old habits, those old ways of being. Marissa was recently baptized. She was enthusiastic about her faith, but was also, as many of us still, struggling with temptations, struggling with trials, trying to escape a destructive relationship, and at the same time having to deal with, well, if I don't have this relationship, then what do I have? Just struggling with deep loneliness. She might have been, I don't think she put it in these words, but it would be saying, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? That if God's grace is more, then what is the consequence of continuing in sin or even entertaining those old relationships? That if grace abounds and exceeds our sin and our guilt, then someone might say that there is no consequence for sin. But Marissa had the instinct, which is true, as the Apostle Paul says, let us not sin that grace may abound. She wanted to live in the freedom that she had just experienced in this gift of salvation. But she didn't want to walk alone. And so she sought Christian fellowship and encouragement. Marissa was wrestling with the call that Jesus gave to his disciples in today's gospel lesson, that the path of discipleship is a path unto death of self. It is the way of the cross. He commanded his disciples to follow and obey him above all things, even the most binding familial relationships. And he sent them out into contested territory as sheep among wolves to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and called them to take up their cross and follow him. But he didn't send them out alone. He sent them out two by two in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then as he ascended later, he prompted Marissa of the Exodus as she was reflecting on the power of her baptism. In the Exodus, the Israelites were freed from the Egyptians. God made a way through the waters of the sea, and men and women and children and babies in the arms of their mothers and fathers were rescued from bondage. That God opened up a dry pathway through a path that would otherwise have been certain death. And that when the Egyptians, the slavers, those who had held on to them, sought to pursue them, the waters swept over them and the Israelites saw them dead and drowned on the seashore. I told Marissa, think of that image when you think of your baptism, that we were therefore buried with Christ in his baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might too walk in newness in life and see our enemies dead on the seashore. That through baptism into Jesus Christ, the realm of the flesh and those bonds that seem to cling so closely have been put to death on the cross. And that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, that she was alive in Christ through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and she only needed to look ahead to the Spirit and the cloud and the fire leading her home, and in fact being with her, in her, by the Spirit. That's how free you are in Jesus. That is what your baptism means. And so she loved that image, but was again afraid of backsliding, honest about the temptations of returning to the realm of the flesh. And similarly, although they were free in the wilderness, although the pathway was closed to them to return to Egypt, and the ones that had held them captive were now dead, the Israelites were still prone to wander. They forgot about the weight and the pain of their bondage. They longed for the fruit of Egypt, and they even forgot who had set them free. So that at the foot of Mount Sinai, as Moses was receiving the law from God, they used gold that God had given them from the Egyptians to make a golden calf, an idol, that they might worship it and give thanks to something that they had created with their own hands. Marissa said, I know temptation can be asking tongues, so powerful, as practical as an old friend asking to be invited in to her home. But I again said, the Holy Spirit is living with you now. You are free. There is no room for any other spirit, any other power. So as Paul wrote, consider yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. Marissa wondered if, well, let's say things go really bad, go really sideways, maybe I could be baptized again if I have a relapse. And again, pointed her back to the Exodus, that just as the Israelites couldn't go back through the sea, in a spiritual sense, she couldn't be baptized again, even though others might try to effect baptism for her. She could instead regularly renew those vows that she had made in worship, and worship with God's people, others who had been saved through the waters. But there is one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And Christ died once, and she only needed to be baptized and identify with him once. If we have died with Christ, we shall also live with him. And so there is, again, there's a present reality of being set free, and there's a future hope of things to come. That the old self is set free from bondage to sin and death. But we still, in this time, journey through wilderness. journey through a place of trial and temptation where our fleshly hungers are really tested. Hunger and thirst, things that lead to death, they still are around us, and we see them bringing others down, like the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But for those of us who are guided by the Spirit, who are filled with the Spirit, even the wilderness is a place of daily bread from heaven to satisfy our deepest hunger, and water from rocks to satisfy our deepest thirsts, so that we should thirst no more, even creating streams in the desert. And the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of trials, and in fact through trials, bears fruit of righteousness in the lives of those who are in Christ Jesus. That through Jesus' death and resurrection, the way of the cross is the way of life. The seed that's buried in the ground, that it needs to be buried in order to come to new life. Again, yesterday, celebrated memorial service for my great aunt Rose. And Rosie was a sojourner for nearly 98 years. And in fact, for many of those last years, she would be like, "Lord, take me. Why won't you just take me and bring me to see you face to face?" She knew trials and temptations. She had many hopes deferred. And nevertheless, Rosie lived as one of God's treasured possessions. She was a woman who, no matter sort of circumstance, still found a way to smile with her eyes and laugh at things and observe life in a way that was not, you know, taking things too seriously or being dragged down. She would have loved Marissa well and have probably had greater words of discipleship than what I could have given to her. Rosie trusted in God's presence and care for her. She trusted in his love. And she often, I'm sure, asked God why and how long she might have to suffer, but still she looked to Jesus, the forerunner and the author and perfecter of her faith. She was a delightful person, but she was above all and eternally set apart by the presence of the Holy Spirit within her, transformed by the gift of God, strengthened to take up her cross and follow Jesus to the ends of the earth, blessed to serve and show hospitality to others as she had received, so she was also serving others as though she were serving Christ himself, giving freely of what she had. And again, choosing joy where she could with an otherworldly smile and warmth, a smile that filled her very eyes. And that same Holy Spirit that sanctified Rose during this sojourning of her 98 years now unites her to Jesus in eternal life. We people are sojourners in that same path as Marissa. We live between death and life. But in the midst of this world that is passing away, God anoints us with his Holy Spirit to be a kingdom of priests and on by our love set apart as intercessors for our neighbors, ambassadors of the kingdom to come by our love, by our suffering for righteousness' sake, sojourners with Marissa and with each other, and giving thanks for those who are triumphant, the saints triumphant, who are now at rest like Rosie, enjoying the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in the name of the Lord all the day, and in his righteousness are exalted. For the Lord is the glory of all our strength. The favor of our horn of our future is exalted in him. For he is our shield and our king. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.